Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
I'm going to live in his freedom. How about you? You know, that's a choice we make. We choose. It's a declaration. I'm going to live in his freedom. I'm going to walk in his freedom. That's what I'm going to do. See, it doesn't just happen. We got a purpose to do it. We got to set ourselves to do it, to be doers of the word, to walk in what we believe. I'm going to walk in the liberty. I'm going to walk in the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Devil's always trying to offer us something else to walk in. Always trying to offer us some kind of bondage. You know, that's all he's got is bondage. There's no liberty. There's no freedom in the devil. It's all bondage. And so he's always trying to offer us something to walk in that'll bind us up, keep us from our potential, keep us from fulfilling the purpose of God for our life. And so we just got to say no to that, because he's a very persistent salesman. He's going to continue to push his product. You know, if you get anybody like that ever call you on the phone trying to push their product on you? And it's like, no, 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 I just wouldn't be interested. Thank you, though. Well, let me just tell you, this is too, you know, and it's like, well, you know, thanks. You're trying to be polite, you know. The thanks, no, I'm telling you, we would not, it's not going to work for us. We're not going to be interested. Well, there's another whole way of looking at it. I'm telling you. Some folks, you just can't get them off the phone. You've just got to get downright mean. Say, no, I got to go now. Bye. You know, that's how you have to do the devil. You can't play with him. You can't play around with him, because he's just going to keep coming. He's just going to keep pestering you. Well, if you just do it my way, I'm just telling you, if you just go this way, if you just do this, I'm telling you this, if you just receive this, if you just accept that, if you just believe this, and you've just got to put your foot down and say, get out in Jesus' name. Yes. I said no. Yes. Hang up on him. Just hang up on him. And you know, he's something else. Because even after you hang up on him, he'll still keep talking right into a phone. Even though all he's hearing is, boo. He'll just keep on going. Because he's deaf and dumb. That's exactly right. And he'll just keep coming. So you just got to be very persistent. Just drown him out. Boo! Not listening to you, devil. Praise God. That's what your praises sound like. When you're praising God, you know, to you and to God, it sounds like, oh, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are wonderful, my Jesus. That's really beautiful. And but to the devil, he hears this, ooh, the whole time you're going. Hallelujah, ain't listening to you, praise God. Tune him out. Tune God in. Hallelujah. Let's walk in the power of God. Going to walk in the blessing of God, because we purpose to do it. That's why we're here tonight, is to learn how to walk in the blessing of God. How to walk like Jesus walked. How to yield to Jesus, cooperate with God, cooperate with the Holy Spirit so God can have his way in and through our lives. And so that's what we're here being trained in tonight as we continue our series on the healing techniques of Jesus. Go with me tonight to Matthew, the 9th chapter. And tonight we're going to look at the healing of the two blind men. Matthew 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Now notice here in verse 27, Matthew 9:27, it says, "As Jesus departed from there." And again, that was from Jairus' house, where he had just raised his little girl from the dead. "Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.'" I want you to notice here, it says, these two blind men followed him. Now, I'm sure that was probably a challenge, because they're blind. And yet, they followed him. That word followed means pursued. They pursued him. They continued after him. So, you know, they didn't just hear about Jesus, there he is, and cry out, but they were following him. They were pursuing him. And, you know, it's not easy, obviously, for two blind men to follow Jesus around. But it's quite obvious that these men, like many others that were healed through Jesus, had a determination about them that caused them to do things that people normally would not do. Like the, you know, the gentleman that climbed up on the roof and ripped the tiling off the ceiling and lowered their friend down, their crippled friend down, so that he could be healed. And as we go through and we look at all the different accounts of people that were healed through Jesus by faith, we see them do extraordinary things. They had very bold action following their believing. And the Bible says faith without works is dead. Faith has works, and faith is bold. Faith is bold. Faith will tear the roof off a place. Here, these men, they had faith, and they were going to follow Jesus. They were going to pursue him. And you think about how difficult that must have been. And yet, if they would do that, what's a lot of people's problem today when it comes to pursuing Jesus, following God, seeking him consistently, going after him? I mean, if two blind men can go after him, pursue him, and continue after him, with all the obstacles that they must have faced. And you remember, you know, Jesus had multitudes of people following him. He had crowds of people that followed him. And so, you know, people are trying to press in and get to Jesus. We saw how difficult it was for that woman with the issue of blood, but yet she did it. She pressed through the crowd and she got to him. Now, here's two blind men pressing through to get to him. And so faith is persistent. It is not passive. Passive. A lot of folks think faith is passive because, you know, when they teach the Word of God or talk about the things of God, they see things like, well, if he wills, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. Well, you know, we'll just have to wait and see, you know. It's all up to God. It's his sovereignty. It's passivity. It's not about his sovereignty. Did you hear me? A lot of folks that are claiming, oh, it's the sovereignty of God, it's really the passivity of them that's keeping them from boldly going after what God has said belongs to them. But they're not going and taking it. They'd rather just put everything off on God. But notice these men pursued Jesus. And then also notice here, it says they were crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So here they're pursuing him. We don't know for how long they're pursuing him, continuing after him. And they're crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So, you know, you can see they're just praying and pursuing. And yet how many people know they're still not healed? At this point, they're not healed. They're praying and they're pursuing, but they're still not healed. Which tells us something, that mere crying and praying will not get the job done. Now you see, they needed to do that. And that helped get them into the presence of Jesus. But that didn't get them healed, did it? So we have to understand that praying alone will not get the job done. And many people, they rely on prayer. That's why they'll try to get a whole bunch of folks to join with them in prayer. People talk about the power of prayer. But prayer alone actually really has no power. Something else has to come along. And notice this here in verse 28. It says, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Now notice this. They've come to him. They're standing in the very presence of Jesus. Wow. How many people love to stand in the presence of Jesus? Well, we have. We've stood in his presence. You know, as we've worshiped him and praised him, some people have sensed his presence coming in. People have been touched by the power of God, by the presence of God. I mean, people have been so touched by the presence and power of God that they couldn't even stand up. They have fallen down, fallen over because of just being overwhelmed by his presence. But I've seen many of people get up after being mightily touched by the presence of Jesus and walk away just the same way as they came to the altar. Because mere coming into the presence of Jesus won't heal you. Praying alone won't do it. Pursuing won't do it. Seeking won't do it. And coming to special meetings won't get it done. Getting under spiritual influence alone won't get it done. Falling out under the power won't bring the blessing of God alone. People can come and present themselves to the altar for salvation, but still go away unsaved. They can come to the altar, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, still go away, having not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These men are standing in the presence of Jesus. They're in the house with him, but they're still blind. They're still blind. Then it says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according, or did I skip over? Yeah, let's go back. Verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. So notice they're standing in his presence and Jesus asks them a question. He asks them a question. Notice, Jesus doesn't take anything for granted. He doesn't just assume things. And you know, with God, it's so important that you and I verbalize what we believe. A lot of folks say, well, God, you know my heart. God knows my heart. God, you know what I believe. You know. But Jesus didn't sit there and look at them and go, yes, I know what you believe. He said, what do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that I am able to do this? You know, it's amazing. Sometimes, you know, people come for prayer and things, and it looks like they have faith. But then you just start asking a few questions, and you realize they don't have any faith. Or their believing is in the wrong thing. They got their confidence in something else other than the Word of God. And a lot of times folks can talk in a way that it sounds like faith, but when you investigate, their talk is not about the Word and Jesus and what he's promised, but it's based on other things. And so that's why it's always good to ask questions, you know, when it comes to ministering to other people. And just don't assume things even concerning yourself. I've learned that to always really examine myself and say, well, now what do I really believe about this? And not just take for granted that I know what I am believing and really thinking here. Sometimes you have to ask yourself that question and really begin to examine things under the light of God's word. Talk to God, fellowship with him. And do your best to even try to locate yourself. A lot of us don't know ourselves like we think we know ourselves. You know, you got to take time, not only just to get to know God, but you got to get to know you. We need to find ourselves. find ourselves in the light of God's word, find ourselves in the light of his presence. Spend time with him in prayer and find yourself, find out where you're at. And many times questions will come to you when you spend time with God. You know, he'll give you a question. And it's good to go in there and really search out the answer to the questions that you have. Search your heart. Find out what you really believe. You know, if you really believe what you said you believe in, then why did you say this yesterday? Well, why did you act like this a little while ago? Well, that was nothing. I was just, you know, that was just a moment and I wasn't really... No. There's a reason why you said what you said and did what you did. Now hold yourself accountable to those things. Come on, hold yourself accountable and find out where you're really at. You need to locate yourself. Yes. Just like when you walk into a mall, you know, if you've never been in the mall before, and there's a particular store you're looking for, you go over to that, the directory, you know, the map of the all the different stores and where the stores are located. And the first thing you look for is what? Where are you? You are here. That's the arrow you're looking for. You got, before you can go on through that mall and find what you're looking for, you got to first find out about you. You got to find out where you are. It's the same thing spiritually. Before you can really go on with God, you got to locate yourself. You got to find out where you are. So you don't want to just assume things. I mean, these guys, they press through the crowd, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They get into the house, you know. Jesus says, do you believe I'm able to do this? Of course they believe. Why are you asking that question? Did you see what they just did? But, you know, people come into the house of God here tonight. You know, going through traffic. Get out of my way. I'm going to be late for church. You stupid idiot. Get out of the way. I got to go pray. Oh. That's a good time to locate yourself. Locate myself. I'm a very godly person. I'm going to church. In a rage. Of course I'm in faith. I'm going to church. Well, you literally examine yourself, you know. How did you go to church? Are you really, why are you really here? What is your purpose for being here? What do you really expect to receive tonight? I didn't quite think about that. It's Wednesday night. I'm here. It's just what we do. It's Wednesday night. Well, you got your blessing. You got here. It's Wednesday night. Praise God. You've accomplished your task. God bless you. You're dismissed. Why are you here? Why have you come? What are you looking for? And what do you really believe? What do you really believe is going to happen tonight? What do you really believe? What are you really believing for? Do, 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 do. What are you really believing for? I'm believing for revelation tonight. I'm believing for answers to this. I'm believing, bless God, for a transformation. I'm believing for a touch from God. I'm believing for... What are you really believing for? I'm just kind of hoping something happens. Okay, well, don't let the door hit you on the way out. We got to articulate what we believe, folks. We got to articulate, why are we doing what we're doing? We don't want to just do things out of ritual, just out of tradition, just out of habit. Thank God for building good habits, but we don't want to just do things because we're in a rut. You got to articulate what you're doing, why you're doing it. Know what you're doing, why you're doing it. And that's how you're going to get the most out of it. So he says to him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And of course they answered, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." What's Jesus looking for here? He's looking for their faith. He can see some things in their actions, but he wants to hear them articulate what they're really believing and what they're looking for. And notice, you know, the question, do you believe that I am able to do this? I am able to do this. Well, who was Jesus that they should believe that he was able to heal them of blindness? Who was Jesus that he was able to do this? A lot of folks have said, well, he's the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Of course he can do this. But it wasn't that he was God in the flesh that enabled him to be able to do this. It was because he was anointed of God and God was with him. According to Acts chapter 10 verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. God was with him. So why was he able to heal? Because he was God. He was God in the flesh. Well, no, that's not why he was able to do what he did. He did what he did as a man, anointed of God, and who walked with God. He did what he did because God was with him, not because he was God. And that's why he tells you and I, the body of Christ in the earth today, he says, believers, according to Mark 16, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? Because he has anointed his body. Because he has anointed believers. And believers that walk with God have God with them. And if God is with you, then you can do the same works Jesus did, as he said. You can do what he did. Why? Because God is with you. Imagine if we really believe that. We really believe God is with me. God is with me. I'm anointed. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about. It's receiving power from on high. It's being anointed with the same Spirit that Jesus was anointed with. So if you have his anointing and you have God with you, then why can't you go about doing good? Doing good. That's where it starts. Do good. Doing good and healing. All those who are oppressed of God. No, all those who are oppressed of the devil. Sickness and disease is never of God. God doesn't put that on people. It's a work of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Friend, you and I are not just to be healthy and strong and blessed, but you and I are to be a blessing and are to be able to bring a healing to others. And we've really got to renew our minds until we actually believe it. And start walking around saying, God is with me. Who do you think you are? Someone who has God with him. Can I say that? Is that arrogant to say, God is with me? Wasn't that Jesus, his name? Wasn't his name Emmanuel, which means God with us? Wasn't that the whole purpose of his coming? Was to cause God to be with man once again? Thank God, God is with us. Yes. Hallelujah. God is with us. Say, God is with me. God is with me. So that's why we can bring healing to others. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Well, yeah, you're Jesus. I believe you're able to. Wait a minute. How about Charlie? How about Charlie, who's anointed with the Holy Spirit and has God with him? Do you believe Charlie is able to do this? Huh? Can a man heal others? Do, do, do. Can a man heal others? We got no? We got some yes? We got some fear. That's saying anything. What do you believe? I don't know. I don't want to commit to anything. That's not faith. That surely isn't faith. But I'd say for the most part, probably not a one of you have faith about it, or in faith about it, about that answer. Either way, whether it's a no or a yes, you're not in faith about it. Well, we need to get in faith about it, don't you? Shouldn't we be able to answer that question? Can a man heal? All right, let's go here to 2 Kings. Hold your place. Go to 2 Kings chapter... Well, you know what? Let's go first. Let's go to Acts 28. She said no, and she crossed her fingers. No! That sounds like faith. Let's get this answer tonight. Do you think it's important to get this answer tonight? Can a man heal people? Acts 28. Notice this. The Apostle Paul, he is out taking a cruise, and he ends up having a shipwreck. Next thing you know, he's on this island, and they're trying to build a fire, and next thing you know, this viper comes out of the sticks that he gathered to put in the fire, and the viper comes out, clings to his hand, obviously sticks its teeth into him, and starts releasing that venom into his body. And the natives, when they saw this, verse 4, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt, here's some great faith right here, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And they were so convinced, you know. They sound so convinced, didn't they? He, no doubts about it. He is a murderer. Is that what you believe? That's your final answer? Final answer. Then the clock goes a little bit. They're looking, they're watching. He must be a god. How do you go from a murderer to a god? No doubt he's a god. From a murderer to a god, and yet sounding so convincing. Don't settle for this in your own life. Don't settle for sounding convinced, and sounding like you believe, and sounding like you have faith. Get in the Word of God and find out where you're really at and get yourself over into that place where you know that you know that you know, and it's based on His Word. Not based on an opinion. Not based on a feeling. Not just a strong idea. Not based on you heard somebody else say, well, the pastor's really convinced of it. No, I'm convinced of it too because I believe the pastor. No, you have to build your faith on somebody else's faith. I said you can't build your faith on someone else's faith. You have to build your faith on the Word. That's what you got to build your faith on God's Word, for yourself. And so here these guys, they sounded convinced, but they were really subject to the circumstances. The circumstances change, then they change. So we don't want to be like that. But notice Paul, he just shook off, and there's no account here of him praying or anything, is there? No account of him praying, oh God, please take it away in the name of Jesus. No, he just shook it off, suffered no harm. Interesting. Verse 8, and it happened that the father of Eubulus lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and it healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Now notice that there, it says in verse 8, that Paul went into him and prayed, and he, who's he? Paul laid his hands on him and God healed him? Who laid hands on him? And healed him. Here it's saying Paul healed him. Isn't that interesting? Paul healed him. Look over here in 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's just pick it up here in verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Assyria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So notice this young girl, she knows about the prophet Elisha. And she says, "Man, I wish, you know, my master, this man who's a leper, who obviously was a very good man, took good care of her as a servant, because she cared about him. So he must have cared about her." And she said, "If only my master was with the prophet who is in Samaria." Why? "For he," the prophet, "would heal him of his leprosy." She believed that the prophet would heal him. Didn't say anything about God doing it. Just says the prophet doing it. Isn't that right? I mean, is that what it says? All right. Let's go jump ahead now to verse 7. "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I a God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to God.'" No. "Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Let him come to who? Let him come to me. Let him come to me. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That reminds me of over back in Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Don't look at us, look at God.'" Don't look at us. We're nothing. Look at God. Is that what he said? No, what did he say? Look at. What did Elisha say? "Bring him to me, and he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel." Why? "Because he comes to me, he's going to get healed." Man, what confidence. What boldness. He comes to me, he's going to get healed. Let him come to me. And Naaman did come. And Naaman did get healed. Isn't that right? And why did Naaman come? Because he believed in God. He believed in the prophet that was in Israel, that the prophet would heal him. Fixing his eyes, verse 4, his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, what I have, what is mine, what has been given to me, I give you. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Notice that. He grabbed this man by the hand and said, "What I have, I give to you." And he pulled that man to his feet. Wow. Who healed that man? Who healed that man? Is it wrong to say Peter healed that man? Well, was it wrong for the Bible to say that Paul healed a man? Because the Bible did say it. See, people get squirmy with this kind of stuff. People get really squirmy with this, and we got to get past the squirmies. Because squirminess is doubt and unbelief. We're not settled on this. And so therefore, there's no boldness in this. And so therefore, there are no miracle signs and wonders coming from a lot of people's lives. Because we're settling for mushmash. For a mushmash faith. We got to be able to say it the way it is. We got to be able to call it as it is and not be afraid and intimidated to do it. If it's in the Bible, let's call it like it is. Let's say it like the Bible says it is. Can men heal? Well, according to my Bible, they can. And in fact, they've got to know that and believe that themselves in order to be able to do it. And those that need the healing need to believe that they're able to do it. Jesus said, do you believe I am able to do this? Well, of course, Jesus. He's Jesus. Of course he could do it. No, Jesus did what he did because why? God was with him, not because he was God. We've got to get our minds renewed in this area. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We need to walk out of here with our heads high, understanding what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, what it means to be anointed of God, what it means to be authorized by God. You're authorized to be able to do some things. You're empowered to be able to do some things. You can do some things because you've been authorized in the name of Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do some things. And you can do it. Just like a law enforcement person, you know, a police officer. They have authority and they pack power to be able to do some things. Right? They've got the authority and power to do some things. And because you and I walk with God, we can do some things and we'll do it right because we walk with God, because God is with us. He's leading us and he's guiding us. Look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15, very bold, very confident. He says in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, who's they all that he's talking about there? Well, if you go back to verse 5, he's talking about Cephas. Verse 6, he's talking about 500 people that Jesus appeared to after he rose from the dead. They had to be some pretty significant people. I mean, Jesus appeared to these 500 people, selected them to appear to them. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. So Peter, James, all the apostles, 500 brethren that Jesus appeared to. Paul says, I labored more abundantly than they all. I did more than all of them. I'm doing more than all of them. Yet, he goes on. I love this. Yet, not I. But what? But the grace of God which was with me. So he's saying, I did it, but, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So I did do it. I healed this man. I labored more abundantly than they all. I did these supernatural works, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So I did it, but I did it by the power of God, by the power of God that was with me, because that's what the grace of God is. It's the power of Christ upon a person's life to enable them to do what they normally could not do in themselves. Thank God for grace. It is amazing. Hallelujah. Now look at this one, Exodus. Exodus 14. They're standing by the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is breathing down Israel's back. Now they're standing there in front of a Red Sea. And they don't know what to do. So Moses goes to praying. He begins to pray. Lord, any time would be a good time for you to do something, God. Because we're all trusting you. You're God, and only you can split seas. Only you can get us over to the other side. Only you can get us through this. Sounds so good, doesn't it? Only you. Only you, God. Only you. God didn't like that worship song. He didn't like it at all. Notice what he said to Moses after Moses was right in the middle of prayer. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Well, I mean, why do I cry to you? Of course I cry to you. I mean, you're God. Only you, God, only you can bring me through, bring me through. That's an original song. I just made that up. So don't ask me later, where can I get that album? That was beautiful. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Can you imagine that? God's rebuking him for praying. God's rebuking him for praying. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But, this is what you got to do first, but lift up your rod, and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Huh? Wait a second. If I stretch out my hand over the sea, then you will divide it. That's not what he said. Is that what he said?
No.
Let's get technical. What did he say? He said, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And God's rebuking him because God's expecting him to know this. See, how in the world could God expect him to know this? Because he's been using that rod to do all kinds of amazing miracles. By this time, he should understand the power that's been invested in him. By this time, he should understand the power that he's been equipped with. He should understand that that rod has the grace of God all over it. He should know that by now. Just like the disciples in the boat that was filling with water out in the storm should have known what to do in that situation. Because they had been walking with the Master himself. And they had been watching miracles and miracles and miracles, way more miracles than you and I read about in the Word of God. Bible says if all the miracles that Jesus did, all the things that he did were recorded, I believe that the world itself could not contain the books. That's what the Bible says over in 1 John. The world could not contain the books to record all that Jesus did. And the disciples, they're watching it, man. Miracles, fig trees withering, and I mean, fish being multiplied, and miracles after miracles after miracles. Now they're out in a boat, it's filling with water, and they're panicking, and they believe they're all going to die. So Jesus gets up, he rebukes the storm, and then turns around, looks at the disciples, and says, where is your faith? How did Jesus take care of that storm? He's God. No, he did it by faith in the God who was with him. And he's saying, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? That's a good question to ask ourselves sometimes. Where is my faith? Find ourselves having a panic attack, find ourselves worrying, find ourselves being fretful. Where is my faith? And that's serious. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the shield that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. We better know where our faith is. And there's been times I know, where's my faith? My faith ain't there. It is not there. And I'm not going to act like it's there. If it's not there, I'm going to go find it. And I know exactly where to go. To Jesus. Go to the Word of God. Get into the presence of God. get in there, bless God, and humble myself and say, oh, Lord, help me. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for allowing my circumstances to be more real to me than what you said. Because I'm anxious about this. Well, forgive me, Father, for getting so religious that I'm dull and insensitive to this situation. That I'm really not in faith, I'm just in religious pride. We got to be able to locate ourselves. Come on, we're back to that again. We got to be able to locate where we're really at. Am I just operating in religious pride? Am I just putting on a front, or am I in faith? How do you know if you're really in faith? Oh, man, there's such peace. There's such peace about it, such joy, and such a tenacity. Yeah. Such a boldness. Like we see with these guys ripping roofs off of houses and pressing through crowds, completely blind, can't even see. Get out of my way, Jesus, have mercy on me. A woman pressing through a crowd. I mean, it's like, don't even mess with me. You just want to push something over, namely a devil. You got a tenacity about you. See, I don't really kind of feel that way. Then get with Jesus until you got it. Get with Jesus until the word of God that you're claiming you believe is like fire shut up in your bones. Jesus, help me. Help me, light me up. And he'll probably say to you, well, I can't. You don't have enough kerosene of my word on you. The kerosene of my word is dried up. Douse yourself. I know what it says. I know what it already says, Lord. You know I know what it says. Well, go there and look at it again. Start pouring. Start dousing yourself. And then you say, light me up, Jesus. And that word gets in your soul. Gets in your soul. It's not enough for it just to be in your spirit. It's not enough for you to just believe in your heart. You got to have it in your soul. You got to get it in your emotions. You got to get it in the area of your passion. It's got to hit your passion button. Oh, hallelujah. You're stirred up, man. You're burning up, burning up. I'm burning up for your word. Burning up for your word. You stretch it out. What are you crying to me for? What are you praying to God for? Get up. God has empowered you. God has graced you with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up. Do something about it. Speak the word. Use the name of Jesus. Man, we got something better than a rod. We got the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Pull it out. Speak the word of God. Deliver yourself. Heal yourself. Lord, take it away. Heal yourself. He tries to mess with me, man. I've had a sore throat try to mess with me. Get out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I healed myself. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Because God is with me. And so because he's with me, I can do these things. So I heal myself. Not only that, I'm a believer. He said, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You believe I'm able to do this?
Well, I believe God. I believe.
Well, then get out of here. Go pray to God and get out of here. You don't need my hand then. Just go to God. God's grace, God's power is upon people. For people to be able to do what they could never do in their own strength, in their own ability. And that is heal and deliver. Save people. We got to have this boat. Look on us. You want to know about God? Come here. You want experience? You want to have an experience with God? Come here. You want to be healed? Come here. Why? God is with me. See, this people's flesh gets a little squirmy. False humility really doesn't like this talk. False humility doesn't like this talk. But humility is walking and talking according to the Word. And I have not departed from the Word of God. But everybody wants to put everything off on God. If God wants to do it, just let God do it. Everybody wants to put all the responsibility on God. But He has made men able to do things. He's made it that way. He's empowered men to be able to do some things. Verse 29, then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. I love that. According to your faith, let it be to you. Where did Jesus put the responsibility for their healing? Did He put it on Himself? According to me as the Messiah, you're healed. No, He said, oh, you believe I'm able to do this? Well, according to your faith, let it be to you. In other words, if nothing happens, don't look at me. You believe I'm able to do this? Yes, okay, according to your faith, let it be to you. The responsibility is on you. Jesus put the responsibility on them, didn't He? See, people don't want that kind of responsibility. They want to put it all on God. No fault on me. It's all God, whatever He wants to do. But we gotta understand that God puts a lot of responsibility on you and I. He has given us a lot of power. He has given us a lot in giving us His name. And to whom much is given, much is required. So we need to get up and be doers of the Word. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus laid hands on him. So we know He must have believed in the laying on of hands. Isn't that right? Is laying on hands limited to Jesus? No, it goes right on over to the book of Acts. We see laying on of hands. Mark 16, Great Commission, believers will lay hands on the sick. So it doesn't end there. We need to have confidence in the laying on of hands. If hands are going to be laid on us, or we're going to lay hands on somebody. We got to start having confidence that we are able to do this. Verse 30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. Notice that. He sternly warned them. But when they departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. They weren't very good at listening and obeying orders, were they? It's funny, you know, it's a lot that way today, you know. Except Jesus is telling us, go tell it, proclaim it, let everybody know about it. And they said not a word. Most of the church world, they don't say a thing. These guys are told, now don't say anything. And next thing you know, they're running around telling everybody. You know, that's probably how it works, you know. We probably need, instead of telling people, hey, go preach to them, you need to tell them, make sure you don't tell anybody at work about Jesus tomorrow. Don't tell them all the great things you understood and learned tonight. Don't tell them about your church. Don't tell them anything about God. Just shh. They'll be itching to say something, you know. They just have to say something. I have to say something because I was told not to say something, so I have to say something. It's that rebellion. Something else, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. But He said, don't go telling everybody. Don't go telling everybody. But they went and proclaimed it freely. And of course, we know that a lot of folks under Jesus' ministry ended up losing their healings and their deliverances. We talked about that in the past. You know, over in Matthew 12, verse 45, it says that when a demon is cast out of someone, he goes to dry and waterless places seeking rest, and then he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They come back to that man, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And Jesus said, so shall it be with this wicked generation. You know, it's important to be able to follow the Lord's instruction, even after you've received the things from Him that you were believing Him for. It's important what we do after the miracle. It's important what we do after the miracle. A lot of people did not do what Jesus said. And a lot of people, according to Jesus, of His generation, that were healed and delivered, had demons come out of them, were actually seven times worse afterwards. because they didn't do what he said. It's serious that we continue in the Word of God. We continue in our belief. We continue to follow his instructions. And so thank God for that. But Jesus, he was telling them to do that probably because over in Mark chapter 1, verse 45, he gave some of the same instructions, and they went out and they proclaimed it freely so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Notice that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. So it probably for the sake of his own ministry, he was telling them, listen, don't go telling this to everybody because it's going to make it difficult on me to be able to minister in certain places. And so, but they went and told anyway, and as a result of that, made it more difficult for Jesus. So we don't want to make things more difficult for him, do we? No, we want to follow his leading, follow his instructions, and praise God, understand what has been given to us. Understand the authority that has been given to us when we've been given the name of Jesus and baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's just not so you can speak in tongues. There's all kinds of signs that are supposed to accompany those who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we need to get out and begin to walk in it, believe in it, and say, bless God, I've got the goods. Amen. Now we humbly come to God, and we talk to him and things like that, but we need to understand too, all that he has already given us and empowered us with. Begin to talk about that. Build our confidence in that. And rise up and begin to use it. Do you believe that men heal today? Yes. Do you believe that you have the power to heal?
Yes.
Do you believe that you actually have what it takes to heal the sick? Is God with you?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Are you anointed with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Do you have the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Then you got what it takes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God forever. I like that story about Lester Sumrall. He was a mighty man of faith. Just took God at his word. That's all that is. That's what a mighty man of faith is. Just someone takes God at his word. It's not some kind of ooh. Just taking God at his word. That's about it. Kept himself believing. And he began to have, a stroke, had a heart attack, pain gripped this man, and his face turned red and blue and everything else. And then he just rose up and went, I'm not done with you yet. Just hit himself. I'm not done with you yet. And his body's symptoms just cleared right up. I'm not done with you yet. Don't you love that? He didn't sit there and go, oh God, oh God, oh God. He had what it took to take care of the problem. And so do you. How many of you know our bodies are here to serve us? We're not here to serve the flesh. Now look at your body and say, body, you obey me. I discipline you. And I bring you into subjection. And you'll do exactly what I say. Because I say what God says. And I have whatever I say. And I say, body, you're strong. You're blessed. You're healed. Whole in Jesus' name. Everything in you is working right. I forbid any malfunction of my body. Everything functions in the perfection in which God created it to function. Live. Be strong. Live long.
Live long.
Be healthy.
Be healthy.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 Split that sea, glory be to God. Amen. And sometimes you got to take the time to meditate on these things until it's really real to you. But, you know, a big part of meditating is speaking. Meditating isn't just thinking. It's muttering things to yourself. Pondering and muttering things to yourself. Mutter. Mutter. Get to muttering. Mutter the word of God. Mutter the promises of God. Mutter what you heard here tonight. Mutter these things. Tell yourself, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a good believer. I'm a strong believer. I believe the word of God. You might as well jump in with me. Say, I believe God.
I believe
the word of God. I'm a strong believer. I don't lack in faith. I'm strong in faith. And I have what I say. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank Him again. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and honor tonight. Thank you for the truth setting us free, Father. Oh, Lord, we do humble ourselves before you. And we just take hold of these things and we ask you, make these things more and more real to us. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and who we are in you. Help us to understand what we have in Christ Jesus. Make it more and more real, more clear to us. Father, cause these things to move from our heart into our soul so that we become passionate with faith, passionate with believing, so that we can actually get out and really begin to do some of these great things you've called us to do. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Say what we say, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.